Now, Squire Fenton's father is paying a visit to Babblewick Hall, and he's got some plans for his wayward son, not least among them, marriage.
We present Babblewick Hall by Scott Cherry, starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson.
Molly, there you are. Where's the squire?
He's in the garden with Barney, burning books.
Books? What books?
Oh, I don't know. He just went on about having enough of living the fine life.
In Babblewick Hall?
That's what he said.
There isn't any fine life here, any more than there's Bally in Newgate Prison or clean underdrawers in Bedlam. What's that?
Squire's breakfast.
They look disgusting. What are they?
Sheep's feet.
Sheep's feet.
In onion gravy.
What, you mean real sheep's?
Squire wants them for his breakfast because he said he's had enough of fine food and all.
What fine food?
Don't start criticising my cooking, Mr. Snipe.
No, Molly, I wouldn't presume. In fact, I must say, I no longer get the vapours from your hash mutton and tripe. Molly? Molly, look!
Oh, that's Queenie.
She's a pig! What's a pig doing in the kitchen? Jack!
Where's the squire? The carrier's brought a letter for him.
Jack, look, Queenie's got out of the stall.
Oh, not again.
Again? You mean this has happened before?
Someone keeps letting out all the animals. I reckon it's them home and he's down by Wingy's Brook.
Well, look, I'll take the squire's letter. And you look up the pig.
Hey?
It shouldn't be a problem, Jack. You're from the same family.
You sure you want to burn these books, squire?
Yep, burn these.
What are they?
Volumes of Horace. Feed them to the flames.
Right.
Farewell, my Roman friend. I will cease to utter such wisdom as interdum, vulgus, rectum, videt.
What?
And will instead quote such Yorkshire profundities as a little pot is soon hot. Well,
right.
What on earth are you doing?
What does it look like?
You can't burn every volume.
Throw them on the fire, Barney.
Don't you dare. Give the books to me. What are they?
Oh, Squire,
you can't destroy these.
Yes, I can.
Horace Walpole's catalogues of royal and noble authors, bound in calf.
I'll have them. Give them back, Hogarth. No, I wish to destroy my entire library.
I know you're still angry with yourself for failing in politics, but that doesn't mean you have to declare yourself a Philistine.
It is now my intention to eat nothing but plum pudding and give myself the biggest belly in the entire parish.
No.
I wish to be known as Mr. Bloke, the fat squire of Babblewick. And what's more, Augustus, I'm going to be just like my father. Greedy, grasping, cruel.
Yes.
Ah. Yes. Here, Barney. The sapphires of Perseus. Destroy them.
Curious that you should mention your father, Squire.
Why?
Because he's just written to you.
What?
This arrived this morning.
Oh.
You'd better open it.
Yes. I suppose I'd better.
Good morning, everyone.
Squire.
Now, I have asked you to assemble in the entrance hall because I have just received some rather tragic news.
Oh, no.
Tell them, Augustus.
It concerns the squire's mother and father.
Oh, squire.
I'm afraid they're coming to visit.
Hey?
You have a suggestion, Augustus.
Well, given, squire, that your father is more frightening than a basilisk, given that he can, in fact, terrify the bark from the trees, I feel that we can do little else but follow the noble actions of Brutus and Cato the Younger.
What?
And kill ourselves.
Hey.
That's a very good suggestion.
Your father can't be that bad, squire.
Have I never mentioned him?
You mention a man to each buttons.
My father, Jack, is London's most feared magistrate.
He's a magistrate?
The day I left London, he told me how he'd sentenced a boy to being burned in the hand and slit in the nose for stealing a pin.
Oh, that's terrible.
Quite.
He should have hung you.
Yes. Well, my father's going to hang us all, Jack, if he sees the muddle I'm making of the Babblewick estate. We've got minutes to make the hall respectable.
What do you want me to do?
Prepare the bedchamber in the east wing.
But all in the ceiling.
It's the only room with a carpet. Barney, get weeding.
Where?
In the bedchamber. There's parsley growing through the floorboards and a butterfly bush in the fireplace. Molly?
Sir?
My father is rather partial to peppered venison with asparagus.
How about ash mutton and tripe?
You just do the best you can. And set an extra place at the table.
And for?
At the end of his letter, my father says that he'll be bringing what he describes as a girl who, though insipid of character and flat of conversation, possesses sufficient thickness in the hips for the purposes of matrimony.
What?
It would appear he is bringing me a wife.
My son will find you an excellent wife, Harriet.
How can you be sure, Mr. Babblewick?
Yes, how can you be sure, William?
Because, my dear, the boy's an idiot.
Oh, and you don't think, sir...
What?
You don't think he'll object to the marked indecisiveness of my complexion?
No.
And you don't suppose that he might be startled by the fact that my ears possess a certain lack of symmetry?
I do not.
And you feel quite assured, do you, sir, that he won't be appalled and distressed by my whiskers?
My dear Miss Bing...
Oh, not so loud, William, please. You'll fret my dyspepsia.
My dear Miss Bing, it's true you are ugly.
Oh, William...
It cannot be denied that your beard gives you the appearance of Chaucer's lusty miller.
Don't listen, child.
But you must understand, my dunce of a son will do anything I ask. You have my word, he'll be your husband.
But if he refuses...
If he even attempts to thwart me, I'll seek written authority from my old friend and barber surgeon, Harry Hatchman, and have him forcibly disemboweled.
Well, I'm not going to let my father choose me a wife. I'm not.
Well, I wish you luck, sir. I'm off to meet someone in Dribb's alehouse.
What?
With a view to securing employment.
Serving beer?
No, Squire. I should just say that I will be meeting a very important gentleman.
But you can't leave me now.
Oh, yes, I can. I've no intention of suffering your father's brutality. The last time we met, he said my waistcoat was loud enough to get me transported.
But who is this very important gentleman you're meeting? Tell me.
Well, some years ago, I requested a position in a certain household.
A certain household? What are you talking about, man?
I made an application to a certain royal household.
A royal household? You mean the royal household?
Yes.
And?
The king, having added to the Queen's house at Windsor, urgently needs more servants of quality. And having just received this most encouraging communication from one of his stewards, who's travelling all this way to meet me, I expect an offer of immediate employment.
No.
I must confess, the prospect of finally escaping Babblewick Hall to leave this Yorkshire barn for Windsor Castle fills me
with... Augustus, how could you,
Squire?
Have you no sense of loyalty? The years we've spent together mean nothing to you?
No, I don't think they do. No.
Good God, man. I was the one who rescued you from the streets when you were nothing but a shoe black in the sand.
No, sir, that's not quite true. I didn't black shoes. I transfigured footwear.
What other master would tolerate your affectations and vanities?
Squire, I cannot be held accountable for possessing the sensibilities of majesty.
What?
And how dare you question my loyalty? I have performed for you, sir, miracles of coiffure. I have conjured with an invention teetering on witchcraft, comfort after comfort.
I keep telling you, Augustus, I don't want comfort. I came north to experience the excitement of hardship.
Then why do you still send to London for claret?
Hmm?
And why do you let Molly rub your temples with camphor?
What?
And why do you insist on sleeping in silk petty pants?
That is a slutter. I do not sleep in silk petty pants. I sleep in a nightshirt of the roughest...
Ah! Molly, there you are.
Mr. Squire.
I'll leave you to serve the Squire his warm milk.
Yes. Well, I can only hope, Augustus, as your superior qualities make themselves manifest, that you're given the recognition you deserve and end up emptying the king's own thunderbox.
Oh, do you think you will?
But I can assure you, royal droppings look and smell much the same as mine.
Oh, no, sir. No.
Nothing could ever look or smell like yours.
Rhaegar!
Are you all right, Squire?
I can't face my father alone, Molly. I just can't.
You're not alone, sir. Why don't you just sit yourself down? Now that's it. Have a sip of this milk.
Oh.
And I'll...
You what?
Do tell me, Squire, if the suggestion smacks of forwardness.
Yes.
But I do have, in the little pocket of my apron, that little glass of camphor.
Oh, Molly.
You just lean back and I'll...
Ah. Oh.
That's it. I'll rub it. Just here.
Where?
On your temple.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Thank you.
There we are.
Oh. Ah. Oh. My father's got no right to give me a wife, Molly.
I don't want to marry.
I don't want you to marry either, Squire.
What?
Oh, forgive me. I'd better go, Squire.
No, wait.
No, sir. I've got to get some Jamaica pepper from the village, from Hannah Norton.
Molly?
I'm doing your mother and father Roebuck pasties.
Molly, why don't you want me to marry?
Squire?
I knew it. From the very first moment we met, from the moment I nibbled your sweetbreads, I knew there was something wondrous.
Double sugar and a quart of cream.
If only we weren't separated by the chasm of class, I could...
You could what, sir?
I could take your hand.
Hey?
Like this.
Ooh.
And I could kiss it like this. I've tried to conceal my feelings, I really have. Whenever I'm in your company.
Sir?
But my heart pounds like a martial drum. I give you this assurance, Molly.
Yes?
I just want you to feel assured that I will not be exploiting my position. Although I have to say...
And say it, Squire.
I have a most fervent and rather painful desire to... tear off my breeches!
Just hope, Squire, that you don't think I'm exploiting my position.
Why?
Just as some women in drudgery seek to ensnare their masters by kissing them here.
Oh!
And by tearing off their petticoats.
Oh!
Yes.
Molly!
Squire!
Where's my regular son? No!
Father!
Elizabeth!
Mother!
Harriet, avert your eyes!
Father, please! I know this might appear to you the very, very picture of immodesty and vice.
What?
But I can assure you that my devoted cook is merely crouching in a valiant attempt to sew a patch on my silk petty pants.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Father, please, let me go to Mama and explain.
I've been travelling 5 days. 5 days? And when I finally arrive here, what happens?
Well,
I'm met in a courtyard of nettles by a Yorkshire gnome.
Jack.
Smoking a pipe and spitting.
The rheumatics make him a touch bitter.
My cases on your mother's medicine cabinets are carried into a drafty hallway by a grinning idiot.
Barney, well, his brain's a little ill-timbered.
And having been escorted past damp walls and twisted doorways, I'm confronted with what?
Me?
You, sir! You! Half-naked with your carnal weapon, poised, ready to tilt.
Dada, I...
What do you think has done for your mother? I mean, she's had to take herself to a bed with a flutter and the feebles. And as for the state of your bride-to-be...
Yes, I wanted to speak to you about that.
Come!
Mr. Battlewick?
Yes?
Yes?
You asked for a little raisin wine.
I did indeed. Leave it there.
Sir?
And then go and tell the cook she's dismissed.
Hey, no.
I'm not letting her think she can stew with my son and keep her place.
You can't get rid of Molly.
You could at least have picked a tradesman's wife. Good God.
Father?
What's that by the door?
Oh, Jack, there's a pig by the door.
No, it's them damn Romany, Squire. I've asked them to leave the estate, and they keep letting out the animals to spite us. Come on, Queenie, out! Come on, Jasper, out!
What kind of a place is this?
Mr. Snipe?
Yes?
Septimus Hickey.
Ah!
Royal steward at the court of King George.
Royal steward at the... Oh, I can't tell you, Mr. Hickey, what a pleasure and a privilege this is. Oh, and sir...
Mr. Snipe?
May I applaud you on your spotted silk coat.
Why, thank you.
The embroidery on your waistcoat, would it be, let me see...
Bouquets of roses and jonquils.
Of course. And your hair, I take it, is your own.
But of course. Oh, perhaps you haven't heard.
Heard what?
Wigs are out.
Out?
Have been for months.
Entirely?
Entirely.
Oh, no!
From Grosvenor Square to Gray's Inn, you won't see so much as a coachman in a cut bob.
Oh, no, and here I am, sitting before you in what must appear a complete clutter of ringlets and curls.
Does your wig have a name, Snipe?
The Dragon.
Ah, yes.
This only affirms my fears. I've been in the country 6 months, and I'm completely behind the times. I'm turning into a potato.
Not at all, Mr. Snipe, not at all. Here. Take a little rapide, and then we'll do business.
Thank you.
The tobacco is Cavendish.
Oh, in the most delightful snuff box. The portrait on the lid. Who is it?
A gondolier.
Of course.
More?
No. That was most invigorating.
Now, sir, you need to know why I've come to see you.
I think I can guess.
You can.
And I must say, Mr. Hickey, that you are about to save me from a living death. To be offered a place in the royal household.
What?
I can't tell you, sir, how flattered I am.
Mr. Knight.
I can work in many capacities, of course. I can attend table, dress gentlemen, even royal
I'm
gentlemen.
I'm not here to offer you a position.
I can superintend laundry, offer advice on matters of... What did you say?
I'm not here to offer you employment.
Say that again.
I'm not here to offer you work.
Then... What are you here for?
Well...
Are you here to torture me?
Not at all.
Mr. Hickey, Septimus, please. And I beg you, you must offer me a position. I can't stay here. I am surrounded by primitives. My fellow servants at Babelwick Hall, they eat with their hands.
Oh.
They're barbarians. They let the animals run wild. This morning, I had to wrestle a pig in order to leave the kitchen. Oh, please. You can't leave me in Yorkshire. I'll do anything to work for the royal family.
Mr. Snipe, what I have to say is of significantly more importance than the offer of a position.
It is?
I am here on a matter of the utmost delicacy, for I am about to reveal to you, good sir, the identity of your father.
My father?
May I explain? You may be aware that our king has become a little infirm.
You mean cuckoo?
God's representative on earth should never be called that.
Everyone knows. He told an oak tree he was the king of Prussia.
Yes, what isn't known is that in Kew Gardens he introduced himself to a coconut tree as Mrs. Sarah Siddons.
You don't mean... You're not saying that he's...
No.
Oh.
The king isn't your father.
No, of course not.
His cousin is.
What?
Your father, Mr. Snipe, is the king's cousin. Who, it is now admitted, toured the British Isles some years ago, using his rank to force women into, shall we just say he used them to appease his ferocious appetites.
Oh, and my mother, do you know who she is?
Let me see. Yes.
What?
When you were born, your mother, a Miss Mary McTavish...
Mary McTavish?
...made claims of Hanoverian paternity, and her occupation was given as a...
Yes?
Here it is.
Yes?
She held a position as a swiller of slops.
No.
I'm afraid so.
Oh,
try not to be too downhearted. It does say she owned her own bucket.
Oh, a swiller of slops.
Yes, but sir...
You could at least have been a charwoman or a quilter of petticoats.
What's most important, Mr. Snipe, surely, is that your father was a duke.
A duke? Oh, yes. Yes, you're right.
And I'm here to inform you that the king has made the decision to grant his cousin's bastards a pension.
Oh, what?
You are to be given a pension, Mr. Snipe.
Oh. Mr. Hickey, would you mind if I stood?
No, not at all.
Oh. And would you mind, good sir, if I fainted?
Not at all.
Thank you.
Fenton?
Yes, Father?
I want you to apologize to your future wife.
No, Fenton, please. You don't have to.
No, Harriet, I must. I really am very sorry that you fell through the floorboards of the dining room.
I didn't mean that.
They're all somewhat worm-eaten, and I'm sorry that we've been forced to dine outside.
I meant apologize for being found rutting your cook.
No.
What?
I won't.
You will?
I will.
You will?
I won't.
You...
No, will you please stop it, both of you?
Harriet.
I can't! I can't tolerate this a moment longer. I'm sorry, Mr. Babelwick.
Huh?
But I can't continue my part in this gross humiliation. I'm now resolved to disappoint my father, whose desperation to marry me off I know has driven him to opium. And I'm resolved to disappoint you, Mr. Babelwick.
No!
As I know you wish my father to make you a high court judge.
What?
He's Lord Chancellor.
And Fenton.
Harriet?
You will be comforted to hear that I won't, under any force of circumstance, allow myself to become your wife.
Oh, thank you, dear lady. But
I will now retire to my chamber. which, if lacking glass in the windows or furniture on which to sit, will at least afford me the privacy and solitude to contemplate the woefulness of my existence. I will expect to leave first thing in the morning.
Harriet, come back. Go after her, Fenton.
No.
Go on. Go and tell her you love her.
William, if he doesn't want to marry the girl, then that's the end of it.
I refuse to marry a bearded woman who looks twice my age.
Look, I admit, Harriet does appear a little advanced in years, but for heaven's sake, Fenton, if she doesn't have the remains of beauty, she at least exhibits the remnants of adequacy.
I won't marry her.
You won't?
I won't.
Very well, I'll stop your allowance.
What?
I'll stop your allowance, boy. Which means you'll have to sell this mess of an estate in order to keep yourself.
William!
There now, what do you say to that, eh?
Yes, what do you say to that, squire?
Augustus, you've come back.
Is that the broth?
Yes, Mr. Babblewick, this is the broth. And may I say what a joy it is to see you all again. Sir, Mrs. Babblewick.
Augustus.
So, you wish to deprive your son of his allowance?
That's no concern of yours. I'm hungry. Serve up that soup.
Oh, I'll serve up the soup, Mr. Babblewick. Yes, yes, indeed. It would, in fact, provide me with the greatest of pleasures to take this delicious Yorkshire bouillon and pour it...
What?
Over that proud monument to cruelty and malice, your head.
Ah, Augustus! Augustus, have you lost your senses?
I wouldn't say I'd lost my senses.
You've gone lunatic.
If you'd care to open this.
What?
Break the seal, and all will be revealed.
How dare you?
Mean it, squire?
Very well.
How dare you?
Be quiet, listen, snake. His Majesty's Treasury hereby affirms that one Augustus Jesse Snipe is in fact the illegitimate son of, good God, of Frederick, Duke of Hanover.
What?
Didn't I tell you, squire? Didn't I say that I have the sensibilities of majesty? And why have I the sensibilities of majesty? Because I'm of the blood royal. I reek of regality.
Augustus,
I've always known I was too distinguished for the life of a drudge.
Give me that.
But to think I've spent the best years of my life working for that family of brutes and idiots, the Babblewick.
Ah, please.
It also says Augustus Jesse Snipe will be paid an annuity from a royal fund of 1,000 guineas.
Oh,
Jesus.
1,000 guineas.
Did you hear that, squire? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. 1,000. Oh, to think of the life I'll lead. I can see it now. Yes, yes. I'll have the largest rooms in Pall Mall. Painted white lead with random provocative tinctures of blue brick. And I'll have a Chinese bedroom with an oriental canopy covering my toilette.
Augustus.
Guests will think they're in the Brighton Pavilion, and the servants will have. Oh, squire!
What?
You can be my valet de chambre.
What?
It's the perfect remedy. Mr. Babblewick, you've stopped your son's allowance.
What have I have?
Which means you'll be as good as penniless.
I can assure you, Augustus, that were I down to my last farthing, in fact, were I to go weeks without breaking so much as a breadstick, I'd sort of carve my legs and claim poor relief and spend one day dressing you in some vulgar Chinese boudoir.
The document also goes on to say, this aforementioned treasury fund of 1,000 guineas... Oh.
What? What does it say?
Is to be shared equally among the Duke's other illegitimate offspring.
You mean I'm not the only bastard?
The Court of St. James now recognizes 200 claims, and each beneficiary will therefore receive...
No.
5 guineas per annum.
5 guineas?
5 guineas.
Per annum. Mr. Babblewick.
Sir.
What? Would you care for a little broth in your bowl?
Augustus.
What?
Stop kissing my feet.
I am merely showing you all due deference and respect, sir. How could you think that I would ever leave you?
Just stand up and go.
Go, squire.
The door's open. I want you to leave Babblewick Hall for good.
But you can't just send me off into the night. Oh, what if the wolf isn't extinct? What if I'm taken and torn to shreds? You can't send me out defenseless and vulnerable.
There's a very angry owl out there.
Have you any idea what you've done, Augustus? Have you?
Well, do you think I stand the remotest chance of winning back my allowance now that you've sent him to bed with a wig full of carrots and peas? Do you?
Don't worry, son. I'll go and apologize.
Where are you going?
To change his mind.
Augustus, what do you think you're doing?
Saving the situation, Squire.
How dare you get them from their beds?
Oh, Mrs. Babelwick.
What is it?
I wish to see your husband.
He's sleeping in another chamber.
What? What, this one? Mr. Babelwick, sir.
Augustus.
I must speak to you about the most important matter, and if you don't come to your door,
Augustus.
I'm afraid that I shall have to enter. Oh, Mr. Babelwick. I beg you to...
Oh, get out.
Oh. Get out, all of you!
Father.
I know this might appear to you the very picture of immodesty and vice, but I can explain.
William, pull back those blankets.
No.
Who's under there? Is that dreadful, Harriet?
No, no, it isn't. She's called Queen.
William.
Coaches ready. Come on, William. We must go.
Yes.
Harriet's waiting in the coach.
I just want a few words with my dear son.
Jack, you haven't loaded my mother's medicine cabinet.
You don't want them, Squire.
I feel suddenly cured. Or shall I say that I no longer need an excuse to deter your father's hideous advances?
What?
I'll be in the coach.
Now, listen, my boy.
Sir.
I still have a chance to be a High Court judge.
Yes. But it would be a shame, Father, not to say something of a cruel humiliation.
What?
If the Lord Chancellor discovered your taste for strange bedfellows.
I'll restore your allowance.
And double it.
You rogue.
Come
on! I hope you rot in this accursed place.
William!
Coming! Goodbye!
Goodbye, Benjamin. Oh, have they gone?
Yes, Molly, they've gone.
But I made your mother a bag of these. Look. For the journey.
What are they?
Oh, just a few candied sweetmeats.
Yes.
Perhaps you'd better have them, Squire.
Well, perhaps at some later date I might nibble.
I'll keep them warm, sir.
Ooh, you do.
I'd better get back to the kitchen and see to the stripe.
Jack!
Squire?
Where are you going?
To see Frank Dudgeon for a smoke and a song. Come on, Barney.
Righto.
Muck out the stables first, will you?
No.
What?
You heard.
Why won't you ever do what I ask you?
Because he's ignorant, Squire.
Augustus, he has the mind of a diseased donkey. He can't begin to understand what duty.
Whereas you can, I suppose.
I tried walking to Leeds, sir, but look.
What?
I broke a heel. The roads are dreadful, Squire. So much pudgy clay.
But what are you doing back here?
Well, I was speculating in an idle kind of way.
What about?
About whether you would reconsider your decision to throw me onto the scrap heap.
Why should I?
Well, just think, sir, of the prestige it might attract. Having a valet who's in line for the throne.
Hmm? Well, I must confess I did find this morning somewhat arduous, having to dress myself.
Oh, did you, Squire?
Yes, I fell over.
Oh, no.
Tried to get into my riding boots.
Well, perhaps, Squire, perhaps we could go indoors and I could put them onto the right feet.
Ah, yes.
Babelwick Hall starred Nicholas de Prevost as Fenton Babelwick and Forbes Masson as
Augustus Snape.
With Benjamin Whitrow, Pauline Yates, John Moffat, Courtney King, Sam Kelly, Gillian Bevan, and David Antrobus. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. Babelwick Hall was written by Scott Terry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.